We're dinking around with Eddie and Webby. Dinking around with Eddie and Webby tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We are back with an all-new episode of Dinking Around with Eddie and Webby. I am Webby, not Eddie. And this is our first episode of 2023. It has been far, far too long since we did a new episode. I think it's been about 7 months or so. So we apologize for that, but we appreciate you joining us here today. We definitely do not want to go that long in between new episodes again. We have a lot of interesting topics and guests that we want to have on the show in the very near future, and we definitely plan on doing that. We had originally planned on Eddie being here with me to do our first episode of 2023, and we had a really fun guest lined up. Unfortunately, sometimes life just gets in the way and things don't work out as planned, and this is one of those times. Unfortunately, Eddie will not be joining us, so you guys are stuck with just me today. However, we are still going to have a great guest joining us here in just a little bit. A couple things I want to talk about before we bring our guest on is something really special happened in my pickleball journey this year, and that is the fact that I got to play pickleball with my daughter in some tournaments throughout the summer. And I've got to tell you, that was one of the coolest, most rewarding, and most fun things that I have done in my pickleball journey so far. It was very cool seeing my daughter really get a lot more passionate about pickleball, wanting to get better, and even getting good enough to where she and I were able to team up and do some competitive tournaments together. We haven't had the greatest of results lately. If you've seen the recent tournament videos that we've done, we had a pretty rough outing in the most recent one. We went 0-8, and as a result of that, my duper rating took a huge hit, and that actually has something to do with the topic that we're going to be talking about today. And that is pickleball ratings. As everybody knows, I can't stand sandbagging when it comes to tournaments. And most of the ratings systems out there are pretty much just asking for sandbagging to happen because they are not even close to being accurate. However, there is a rating system out there that I have been a big fan of for a while now since they got introduced. And I'm sure you all know if you follow me that I am a fan of Duper. I have never worked for Duper. They have never paid me, but I have been a fan of what they are trying to do. And they'll be the first to admit that their rating system isn't perfect, but I do feel like it is the best option currently available. But unfortunately, there's been so many changes with Duper that I feel like I don't totally know and understand how it works anymore, because a lot of changes have happened. If anybody out there uses Duper, you probably know what I'm talking about. But the algorithm has changed. The app itself has changed, and I just don't feel comfortable answering questions that people ask of me because right now I feel like I don't totally know or understand how Duper works. But we have a guest joining us today that will hopefully be able to clarify that and help make sense of all the changes that have happened. So without further ado, our guest today is the head of analytics for Duper. Please welcome to the show, Scott Mendelson. How's it going, Scott? Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
So the last time I talked to somebody from Duper, it was with a data scientist, and that was a little over a year ago. And a lot has changed with Duper since then, both with the application and, from what I understand, the algorithm also. So when did you join the Duper organization, and what would you say are the biggest changes that have happened with Duper since then?
So I've started working with them in a variety of capacities about 6 months ago, but obviously there were some big algorithm changes that we'll talk about shortly, I'm sure, that were kind of in the works when I joined. We'll talk about why those were there, talk about what they're trying to do and all that sort of things. But I was doing a lot of sort of ad hoc analytics, looking at a variety of questions that sort of helped us shape how we thought about the MLP structure, rally scoring versus traditional scoring, looking at different predictive methods, thinking about the network of players and how that information transfers between very distinct and specific grouping and clustering of players in the pickleball universe versus things like chess or StarCraft. And so I was just starting to do a bunch of stuff. And eventually they said, hey, why don't you help us get these out, like this rating algorithm back on track? And that kind of picked up in June when the new rating switched over to the instantaneous rating. So I've been kind of in and out, gradually growing more and more in for the past 6 or so months.
Nice, very cool. And I definitely appreciate you coming here to talk with us about it because I do have a lot of questions. A lot of my friends have questions for me about it. And I'll admit, I feel like with all the changes, I don't totally feel as knowledgeable as I used to because, as most people know that tune into our channel, I have been a big fan and supporter of Duper pretty much since the beginning. I don't get paid by Duper. I don't work for Duper. I'm a fan of things that help pickleball, and I do feel like Duper is definitely trying to make a change in pickleball for the better, trying to get rid of sandbagging, trying to make sure people know like what their accurate levels are and stuff like that. So I definitely appreciate what you guys are doing, but I do feel like a lot has changed to where I myself am going to need some clarification. So hopefully you'll be able to help me out there.
You're not alone either. And that's why I'm so thrilled that you asked to have this conversation, just because it has changed quite a bit. I really feel like what we could have been doing better, and will readily admit to this, is that I think the changes, the direction that we're going, is right. We're not there yet. We're making incremental progress. We've had to solve a lot of different problems, and we're going to talk about these problems. But the thing that we definitely did not do well was communicate this effectively and broadly and get good levels of transparency to the users. And so having a conversation like this, where you're going to be able to share this information with others and make sure that folks are getting incrementally more understanding of what's going on. We've put in a lot of effort on hiring new marketing teams or rebuilding our marketing teams. We're going to be changing the way that we go out to making these app changes, and we've already started being a little bit more transparent there. So this whole thing is about trying to make it a lot clearer, because we do believe in the path. We do believe where we're going. But it is murky for a lot of people, and even people like yourself who try to stay really involved. So, this is a mea culpa. This is an apology tour to some extent, but like, I do genuinely believe where we're headed is the right place for this. And this is the type of thing that we need to make sure that everyone's in on board, able to advise, give their thoughts and feedback, and make sure that this thing grows with the community that it's trying to represent, and not just try to like police a community from the outside. That's the last thing we want. We want this to be by the people, for the people, right? Like, we want this to be like, we're, we partnered with, we recently brought in Ben Johns as an advisor. And so me and him are going to start doing some podcasts together where we're talking about this. But we're thinking about the ratings algorithm, how it relates to amateurs, how it relates to pros. We have a lot of buy-in now to do this the right way. And now it's just about trudging uphill, but we're trudging, like, we're making that progress. So again, very excited to have this conversation.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that, and I appreciate that. I feel like Duper has, for the most part, always been quite transparent about, and like, it's not perfect. The algorithm's not perfect, but it's a work in progress and tweaking things here and there. So I do appreciate that. That always seems to have been like a core value. But speaking of the algorithm, that's one of the biggest things I want to learn about, because from what I understand, the way it used to work, it mainly cared more about point differential and not so much wins and losses. Whereas I think now it's more about wins and losses. Would you say that's accurate?
That's accurate, but let me take you on a little bit of a journey here. So, amateur players in the old version of Duper, people who are just joining this like very fast growing universe for the first time, of people joining pickleball from tennis, joining pickleball from table tennis, coming in, they get their Duper, they plug in, and they go, "What the heck is Duper? How is this calculating it? What is my expected score? Why am I going down when I've won?" There was a transparency problem with that algo. We believed a lot in how it predicted matches. We thought its accuracy was good. But from a new user standpoint, there was basically this building fire of rage in these users who had no idea what was going on. And a lot of people put a lot of their life into pickleball, and to see a number move in a way that they couldn't understand. I remember Mike came and he talked you through the match performance, but there's also that community effect of, okay, I played somebody who then went on to play somebody who they then beat. And so now my rating needs to reflect that. There's a lot of moving parts. This web is super complex. And so the change that was already in progress as I was coming in was, we need to prioritize simplicity and intuition for users. And so I think what happened is, and I in fact know what happened is, we took it a step too far. We took a lot of the complexity out because we were worried that the transparency wasn't there yet. But now we're building back in that transparency. And over time, we hope to start reintroducing a lot of these elements, like the points scored, like the complexity of the network. But we need to do it in a way that people who are just joining this community and people who have played for 10 years can both understand what's going on. So the originating factor here was, people did not know how their rating was getting calculated. They sort of had a feel for it, but they couldn't play a match and go, "If I win, I know what's going to happen," right? if I win and my rating goes down, what the heck is going on? People would get really mad because they didn't have the predicted number of points beforehand. You had the benefit of having Mike come on your show and tell you exactly what you needed to score,
right.
But the app didn't have that. We brought in a new app team, website and app team like 2-3 months ago as well, to start to build out all of these things. How do we put transparency before the match? When you're creating a match with somebody else, we want it to be that you see exactly what that score is, so you know what you need to play to. But until that point, we need to let it exist only in the space that people, the users, understand, which is, did I win or did I lose? So it was a significant simplification with the attempt of basically addressing the number one complaint that we would get in our support channels, which was, I don't know why my rating did this. And it wasn't that it was wrong. Sometimes there's bugs and sometimes there's other stuff, but really it was, I don't know why my rating moved. And it's a huge web of information to try to compress down into a single number. And the algorithm does it, but it doesn't mean a person can explain it, especially not a person who's not a trained data scientist and not necessarily in a way that somebody on the other end is going to understand. So the most important thing for us was, we need to tear down complexity, start with simplicity, and then build back in the complexity as we could make that complexity transparent to the users. So we're in this stage right now, a lot of frustration with the algorithms, very different with why is it not considering granular data like points scored? That is coming back. It is going to come back, but the first thing before it comes back is the user needs to be able to see it. That's our motto. If the user can see what's going to happen, then we're happy with the complexity. But if a player doesn't know what's going to happen, if they're 11-6 or 11-7, we don't want to introduce that confusion and that frustration because so much of our population was getting frustrated. So right now, you're correct, wins and losses. If you win, you go up. If you lose, you go down. If you win in a surprise upset, you're playing against, you're an underdog and you win. Like if you went out and beat Ben Johns, right? You would go up by quite a bit. If Ben Johns beats you, the ratings really aren't going to change. We didn't learn a lot from that, right? The most expected outcome is not going to move the ratings because it was expected. The unexpected things are going to really move the needle here. So unexpected results move you more. Wins and losses are the determining factors right now. And right now, the keyword, because that's the only thing that players can know beforehand right now. We're working on that transparency. Points will get added back in once that transparency becomes available. It's the top focus of the research team as to how to make that transparent and known ahead of time. And obviously you can imagine it's a complex web. It's interacting with all of these other players across the ecosystem. And so how does the effect of your match percolate out into the world and come back to you in like an echo, right? This is really intricate space of all of these connections, of all of these matches. A lot of people say, oh, like chess is doing this with ELO. It's very straightforward. ELO is a ratings algorithm that some of your listeners might be familiar with. Chess is one player versus one player. We're talking about a double sport too. And we're talking about a double sport where occasionally you're switching partners. And so we're thinking about team sports, singles, doubles. Chess has an online component. There's a lot more connectivity in chess. People can interact with almost anyone. The top professional chess players play like hundreds of thousands of chess matches online, you know, in their lifetime. The top pickleball players, they play like four times a weekend, you know, half the weekends of a year. There's not nearly the same amount of data. So we have to be really clever in how we adapt the known rating systems to fit the particular use cases here. But we don't want to do it if we're going to do it in a way that players are going to look at their duper score and go, what the heck just happened? I just played in the tournament, came in first, and not realizing that there's this huge other community effect that might be affecting them. So it needs to be transparent. And we're working on adding the transparency and then adding the complexity that wraps around that transparency in a smart way. That's it, right? What else do you want to know? That's 30 minutes, I think, right there, of blabbering.
No, that does make sense about why you made the change. It makes more sense to me now than it did. And I'll admit, I really liked the point differential focus before. So I'm very happy to hear that you said that you are going to be bringing that back once you fine tune the
Absolutely.
Way it's currently working. So that, I think that's going to be a relief, and a lot of people are going to be happy to hear that, because a lot of people that I know that use Duper, they aren't the biggest fan of the win loss focus, but knowing that the point differential thing will come back, I think that's going to make a lot of people happy.
So let me actually interject really quick. So what we've seen in the amateur user experience, the amount of amateurs that are using the Duper app has skyrocketed. It's up like 50%, like 45, 50% since we made this change. For amateurs who are playing recreationally with their friends, it's sort of like small scale gambling on your Duper. You're passing it back and forth. It's a lot of fun. It's immediate, it's engaging, and it's a lot of fun. The problem is when you get to the people playing tournaments, club directors, you need that stability in the ratings. You need the fact that you know confidently the rating you see is representing the truth, and that needs to have as much information as possible. And so we've successfully been able to isolate that amateur population, but now we need to, we kind of overstepped and overfit to their case. And we need to go back and make sure that the players who are in the weeds and wanting to learn about how this works and thinking about what the expected score is, what the spread is going to be, how they might do if they win this one extra point. That's the population that we need to make sure now is getting the same level of attention that they were before. And hopefully it'll be better for them too, because they'll be able to go in beforehand and go, okay, I'm expected to win 11-8. So if it's 11, if it's 10-7 right now, I better get this point if I want my
Right.
Duper to go up, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it does make a lot of sense because when I was first getting into Duper and telling people how it worked, there were a lot of people that also disliked the point differential thing because, like you said before, some people could win a game but still see a drop in their Duper and it wouldn't make sense to them. But to me, it made sense because I understood the whole point differential thing. But I can see why some people wouldn't like that and had a problem with that. So it definitely makes sense to me why you guys made the change that you did. And I do agree that it's going to be a lot easier for new people using the app to make sense of it and stuff like that. So
It's really about, I think we can. And so part of my biggest project was how do we get back to the accuracy of what we had before and the feeling, the natural instincts that people had of, oh, I'm a 3-5, and that's kind of what my number shows too, right? And we'll have these things where people look at the individuals playing pickleball on a YouTube channel and we'll be like, okay, that's a 4-0, and people guessing it. And it's like, okay, you can kind of guess, like there's a feel, there's an intuitive feel behind this. And when you change the algorithm, you can accidentally change the shape of the distribution. You change the relationships between players when you change the algorithm. And so the real question we have now is how do we get back to that place where people felt intuitive? It felt like ratings represented the truth in a way that makes a lot more sense. And then all of these other research projects we have, how do we think about team dynamics? But that's generally about, like, a lot of people come up to me and they say, mixed doubles versus gender doubles, these things should be separate ratings. We actually disagree. And there's a lot of research there about how we think about the roles within teams, how we think about population information transfer, how the men's and women's population for doubles, for instance, is pretty segmented, right? There's not a ton of matches that are providing you gendered information. Occasionally you'll get the battle of the sexes. I loved seeing that on the YouTube channel that you had. Like, that information is actually super valuable because it lets us level set the entire population. But a lot of times it's mixed, or it's just same gendered pairs. And so you're not getting information about the imbalance. That being said, our kind of like atypically paired gender matches. So this is like three of one gender, one of another, or two of one versus two of the other in that kind of battle of the sexes. We're about 97% accurate on predicting the points scored there. So we're actually doing pretty well. And this doesn't apply to every single person's use case because this is looking at the entire population. But when there's good mixing, we actually find that we do predict those relative balances pretty well. But there's also like another problem, which is similar to the male-female problem, which is, okay, we have a group of, let's just say, male players in the United States. We have a group of male players in Spain. They don't play each other that much. We don't get a lot of relative information about the level of play in the US versus the level of play in Spain. So a 3.0 in Spain might not be a 3.0 in the US unless we do a good job of propagating information. So the gender problem is just a specific instance of a population problem, but it's also combined with this other interesting idea, which is what's the role of players on a team? So often in mixed doubles, you'll see a alpha and a beta player, right? You'll usually see the left side player take a lot more of the court than the right side of the player. But that can happen in gender doubles too if we saw the same gap in average Duper between the two players on the team, right? If I was playing right side with Ben Johns, you can bet your butt he's taking 90% of that court too, right? He's playing probably a lot how he would play in a mixed doubles match. And so we're trying to think about now just assigning role variables and how, similar to how like basketball, you can kind of break players into their different roles and you can evaluate them slightly differently based on the things that they're typically asked to do. How do we take the data that next step? How do we think about left side play versus right side play? You could be a great left side player on an even court, but not a great left side player when it comes to taking over more of the court because your ability to stretch yourself isn't quite there. You expose your backhand too much, right? Pairing with righties and lefties, like there's all this other data that we want to get to. Once we can get back to that place where people see a 4-0 play and they go, yeah, that person's a 4-0. And we have that path and we have that future. And so all of it kind of fits together. It's all in the same trajectory of where we want to be in terms of how we're analyzing it. And it comes naturally through the way that we're processing this data. Just like the results that we're getting internally are consistent with the way that we want to be analyzing this in the future, which is really exciting. So we're in a transitory phase. There's a lot of like turmoil, and it's understandable why there's going to be a lot of people frustrated. There's probably going to be a lot of people frustrated listening to me talk right now too about this. But the path for what we have has been laid. Like the train tracks are on the road, going down to the right path, like into the sunset or whatever you want to call it. We're just kind of in this early phase. It's a little bumpy, but that's why these conversations are so valuable. Seeing the comments that people are going to leave about the questions they have, about thoughts about how they might like transparency around pre-match expected points or the expected spread before a match, like all this stuff is going to be super valuable as we build with the community rather than trying to like black box ourselves off in a corner and just kind of randomly put Instagram posts out to the world.
Right. Yeah, I do think this is very valuable. I think this is going to be great information to get out there to the general public. Speaking of the general public, I do have some general questions that friends of mine ask me all the time about Duper. And a lot of them I know somewhat the answer to, but some of them I feel like I might not be knowledgeable enough to give the right answer to. So yeah, if you don't mind doing kind of like a rapid fire general question segment here, I would
I
love
don't know
to
how
do
rapid I tend to be with my
it.
answers, but I will like try to rapid as best as I can.
All right, I like it. I like it. So one thing I have always seen mentioned on the Duper app or discussed when people talk about Duper is Half-Life. So are you able to explain what Half-Life is?
Yes. So I can explain it. Half-Life right now is just a simple idea of the longer a game has been played in the past, the less important it is for how reliable you currently are. Folks who have been listening to a few pickleball podcasts may have seen Steve Kuhn on the Pickle Pod, where he introduced this idea of this reliability score that we're working on. So Half-Life is a current idea, a holdover from the previous version that was simply how many games have you played and how recently, right? As they move into the past, they decay. We've improved that. And we've improved that using the same sort of like graphical technology, network technology that places like Google use when they think about PageRank. How do you determine the reliability of a website? You look at the people, right? Like there are complex algorithms already invented for studying graphs that we have repurposed, put our own IP into, and applied directly to pickleball. So Half-Life right now is a crude approximation of where we're going, which is this reliability score. The Half-Life is going to be a component in that reliability score, but it's basically saying if you played three games today, you have a half-life of three. If you wait a year, those three games are going to not count as three. They're going to count as less than that because they've decayed. Think about like carbon dating, right? If you're familiar with that, like it drifts off into zero and never quite gets there. And so half-life is just a measure of you've played enough, you've given us enough information recently that we can say this is really what your score is. But we're going to something that's a lot more involved, a lot more mathematically rigorous, and a lot more aware of the broader connectivity of our community in the future. And so that's something to be on the lookout for. If you haven't listened to it already, Pickle Pod with Steve Kuhn a month or so ago, he went on. I'd recommend your listeners to check that out too.
Nice. All right. Yeah, that definitely helps.
Not rapid. Promise, as promised, not rapid.
So another question that I get asked a lot is, what happens when a player with no rating joins a group of rated players and then those results are put into Duper?
That's a perfect segue into something I should have mentioned before. So we just changed our initialization format. So again, a lot of people were frustrated. They play a match. I think even in one of your videos, you played a match and then you didn't see your Duper change until like the Tuesday or Wednesday following, right? So now we're instantaneous, but that comes with the caveat of somebody who's playing for the first time. We have no information about their rating. So before, what we were doing at the beginning of this new algo change, we were setting everybody as 3.5. That is the population average. If you look at it, it's like a bell curve, a nice big normal distribution. It's called 3.5s right in the middle. obviously not everyone's a 3.5 when they came in. And so this was causing a lot of people to say, oh, you know, I'm actually a 5.0 and now I got to work my way all the way up from a 3.5 when it should be obvious because I was playing 5.0s from the beginning and hanging in. So what we've done is we've made a change to the way that players get initialized. New players get ratings for the first time. There's a blog post about it on our website that I'd recommend your listeners go check. And again, if there's a collection of questions that come in and you want to email them to me, I'd be happy to respond in email as well, because it is a little tricky. But basically, if you are a new player and you play three matches with everybody else on the court being rated, doesn't matter the permutations, if you play three matches, tomorrow morning, you should wake up with a rating. If you play matches with lower information counts, meaning maybe only one or two of those people are rated, you're going to have to play more matches in order for us to feel like we can initialize you. And effectively what happens is once you play your first match, we start a timer. So either 1 week goes by and we just take the data we have and give our best guess, or you play enough matches. Usually you play one tournament and you'll automatically be updated by the end of it. But you play enough matches, we look at those matches, we look at the performance, and we give you the best guess that we can do based on those matches that you played. So already we've started to see people getting initialized much more closely to their true, you know, level of play. The amount of complaints on that has gone way down. There's, you know, it's still being like rolled out in terms of like work in progress. I'm sure some of your users might have some bugs. Again, support lines always open, working through these things very quickly. There's for every like good support question, there's, you know, five others that we sometimes just have to get through and help people through some kind of like early understanding of what this algo is trying to do so that they can go back and be comfortable. So please forgive them for taking maybe a while to get to your questions. If you're asking, they are working through a lot. They're being very, very diligent about it. But in general, we've changed this initialization practice such that now the people that you play with are going to help you get rated. And let's say I don't have a rating and you and your two other friends are playing with me. None of you three are going to feel any impact from this match. All of the information from this match is going to be poured into my rating. And so now you, as a person who has a friend, maybe who you want to bring onto the app, there's no downside for you playing this person. They're not going to come in at a 3.5 and maybe hurt your duper because you know that they're actually better than that. So players are now coming in relative to the people they're playing. The people they're playing and helping them initialize are not feeling any of the consequence. You can bring your friend onto the app with no feeling whatsoever of any sort of like, oh, I'm not sure if I know what their duper is going to be, so I don't know if I want to play them. When you're helping them get their rating, for you, it's you go out there, have fun, play good competitive pickle. And for them, it's they play their best and get rated as best as we can.
All right, nice. What if a group of people, like let's say all four players are new to pickleball, just created their duper app for the first time, so none of the four players have a rating. Is that kind of like pointless to do for them to play and input
the
results?
No, it's not. So those ratings are bounded because we don't want to be extreme with such little information. We could have four ex tennis players who are all, you know, world pros come and start playing. And yes, that's rare, but you know, we just can't say, hey, you guys are all 6.5s either. So the way that this works is if let's say that week has elapsed and you've only ever played matches with people that are completely unrated, it's like a brand new club, no one's ever played before, going around in circles playing other people who are unrated. You could eventually get to a point where there's enough information in the system, but probably what's going to happen is that timer is going to elapse. The timer is going to elapse and you're going to be rated anywhere between a 3.0 and a 4.0 based on your ability. So if you absolutely wipe the floor with every other unrated person that you play against, you'll probably start as a 4.0. If you get crushed, round, around, 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 getting crushed, you're probably going to start as a 3.0. But we do have to make a guess. We do have to say something. And the best guess that we can make when we have no information is everyone sort of centered at that 3.5, and it's based on relative play. But I would encourage you to play in that interval, or if people are just starting that, go play with people who do have a ratings. That will get you immediately much more reliable. Even if you just play one match where everybody else is rated, right? You really don't want to just, if you can get one in, that's going to make a huge difference to where you start relative to your ability. So I would encourage that.
All right, sounds good. So speaking of a reliable score, what does it take for somebody's provisional rating to become a reliable rating?
So as we're right now in the transition between getting rid of this half-life concept and introducing the reliability score, I'm going to answer briefly about the two of these. So there definitely have been some technical bugs in the transition that have made it so that the asterisks that people are used to have not been appearing as usual, but the half-life score still should be relatively consistent. But usually what we said is if we have a half-life of greater than 3, on average, Duper feels it does a pretty good job of predicting. The accuracy jump sort of plateaus. It doesn't plateau, but it slows its growth. There's sort of what we call an elbow in the statistical concept. Think about like it's curving and sort of like beginning to flat right at that curve is 3. In the new concept, there's a lot of variables that are intersecting together. And again, we want to make sure we're providing transparency before we flip over. But if you play two matches with NLP pros, that's probably better than you playing 50 matches with people who are all unrated, right? So the level of confidence of the people you're playing with and the people you're playing against is going to then become a factor in how your reliability is rated. So the way that Steve referred to this in the Picklepod was he called this like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon score, which is this idea that you are sort of connected to everyone by 6 degrees. It's not always the case in pickleball. There's a lot of little community clusters, but this idea that the connection that you have to your everyone you've just played is weighted the strongest, and then the connections that who they've played that you didn't play get some level of information transfer to you. And if that person that you played someone who then played someone in the major leagues, well, that's probably a pretty good indication that some of their rating has communicated its way back to you. So the old format was simply based on half-life. Have you played enough matches recently enough that we feel like you're in a good band of predictiveness? Where we're going to is the more matches you play, the better. The more variety of partners and opponents you have, the better. The higher quality these opponents are in terms of their reliability themselves, the better. And the more matches you play that are entered through, formal capacities, either through a club, a league, a tournament, those are going to be weighted higher than recreational matches where we get a lot of spoofing. So we need to balance those things out. So we're in this transition phase. And so I know it's not going to be a straightforward answer. And I didn't promise straightforward, but we're in this phase from before it was a single measure, and now it's going to be a combination of a bunch of measures, but it's what you'd expect. Variety in your play, variety of your opponents, and increased amount of play.
All right. Very nice. So another question somebody asked me recently is how far back does the algorithm look when it comes to recalculating?
So right now we're in a regime where if you do not play, your rating does not change. Unless there's some sort of operational thing or a match got added that had been in the past, or there was an edit to a match that had been improperly added. There's a bunch of operational reasons why you might not play and your match changes. Most of these shouldn't affect the vast majority of your players. But imagine you played in a tournament, right? There's been some conversation lately about difficulty with some brackets getting put into Duper, right? There's a number of upstream concerns that, Duper's made every possible effort to make it easy for a few of these bracket tournament providers to enter in the tournaments, but sometimes they don't go in right away, and you don't necessarily know why. It could be for a number of reasons. But if you played in a tournament 6 months ago, and all of a sudden that gets finally hits Duper, your rating's going to change. But the idea is the way that it should work is you play, the match gets entered pretty immediately, your rating changes, your rating never changes outside of that scope. So pre-June, we were looking back in time and calculating ratings and looking at matches. But right now, it's you play a match, your current rating, their current rating, the result, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter about the history. It doesn't matter this. Eventually, we'll start adding in the score. Eventually, we have a creative IP-ridden way of incorporating that community effect in a way that's perceivable and knowable to the audience beforehand so that it's very obvious how all this is working so that you can anticipate it beforehand.
All right. So the next thing I want to bring up, it's more of an observation that I've seen on social media when Duper discussions happen. And I regularly hear that Duper ratings are more inflated compared to something like UTPR because Duper goes up to 8.0, I think, instead of maxing out at 6.999 like UTPR or something like that. Are you able to confirm or deny that? Like, is a 4.0 in Duper supposed to be different than a 4.0 in UTPR or when it comes to figuring out what tournament bracket you should play in?
So I would imagine they ought to be the same, but there are two different algorithms. that don't share data, right? Obviously. And I don't know how they rate all of our players that we have on our system, and they don't know how I rate the players that are overlapping with their system. So it's hard to say that the intent is for them to be aligned. I think both of the intents was to make this look like a system that people were familiar with, but they've evolved in different ways. It would be lovely if we just had one, and I think both parties would like to be the one. I, as a representative of Duper, would love it to be Duper. The idea that there's just one rating that is the kind of de facto rating, cross-gender, cross-age, everybody can interact with this exact same number and feel it the same way. That's the goal. And then it really doesn't matter what the scale is. Unfortunately, I can't talk to what any of the other rating platforms are doing, because again, if they wanted to give me their data, I'd be happy to answer that question, but you're going to have to convince them.
All right. But yeah, I mean, pretty much since I started using Duper, to me, it has by far been the most accurate compared to any other ratings system out there. In fact, now, anytime I do a pickleball tournament, when I know they're not using Duper as the rating scale, I'll look at my opponents on there ahead of time, see what they look like, and then there'll be some that it's like, oh, according to their Duper, they're kind of sandbagging here based on this tournament. And you'll be surprised how many times that actually seems pretty valid. Like, the tournament comes and goes, and that the players that had a pretty high rating in Duper that seemed like they should have been in the next level up, they run away with the tournament and just destroy everybody, and it's not even close matches. So to me, Duper has been the most accurate of all the ratings systems out there. There are people that like to argue with me about that, and they'll say kind of like what I was saying before, how the ratings might seem inflated in Duper compared to other things. But
so inflated isn't as much of a concern for me in our system, which I don't think we're inflated. The thing that's important is relative consistency. 4-0 versus a 5-0, is that the same as a 5-0 versus 6-0? Like, are we getting the scale that we expect, and can we reliably apply structure around that scale? And so this, you know, I would agree to anyone who's going to come back and say right now that Duper's going through a period of a little bit less predictive power than it had been. We are getting back to that gut feel that you had before of this like high level of predictiveness. So trust us that we're moving in this direction. I think that we're going to see improvements this month. We've made some research changes that are already in development about how we make this more reliable and stable for longtime users versus new users who need more information and need more adjusting of their ratings. So hopefully we get back to a place where everyone can agree that we're much more reliable. But in general, the thing that's more important to me is that there is a structure that's intuitive and understandable. And we'd love it to be that everyone kind of normalizes around the Duper structure. But, you know, right now, Ben, it goes up to 8, but Ben's a 7.1, right? He's the number one player in Duper still, and he's a 7.1. So we're not necessarily using all that extra space. Maybe we should be. I think it, you know, it really comes down to, we want to give people the familiarity with when they see a player and they can go, I've been playing long enough, that guy's a 4. That person usually ends up being somewhere close to a 4. That's what we're trying to get. We're trying to quantify that gut feel of every pickleball player's brain into how someone ought to be rated. So yeah, a little bit different of an answer maybe than you were expecting, but I see it more about like, can we make our system robust and structured? And then everyone else hopefully learns from that and tries to jump on board too. But we're focusing on us.
Awesome. Well, that's pretty much all the questions I had for you, Scott. I really appreciate you joining me here today. I learned a lot. I definitely got some clarification on some of the questions I had. Hopefully anybody watching this video also learned some things and got some questions answered that they wondered. Is there anything else you want to say before we part ways today?
I will offer that if your listeners, if they have a collection of questions, comments that have come up, you know, I'm sure there'll be a list of comments on the YouTube post or wherever you're going to end up putting this. You know, curating this, and you want to do a redux in a handful of weeks or months or whatever, just to kind of make sure that we're really, you know, I want to make sure this is clearly tailored to the community. That is my effort here. Like, this is obviously an interesting statistical problem that has a lot of sharp edges, but we want to make sure people understand what's going on. And to the extent that I've missed something or could answer it better, if it's an email, if it's coming back, I'm sure we'll have more changes to discuss, always more content to go off of. But I do want to make sure that that is understood as an open offer. Like, I want to make this a community thing. I want to make sure that Duper is seen as a outpost for quantitative, interesting thought in pickleball, supporting the community, learning from the community and trying to work with the community as best as we can. So to the extent we can do this with your podcast and beyond, like, I would love to. I'm very excited.
Nice. Very cool. I definitely appreciate that. I will take you up on that offer. If we get a bunch of questions in that I don't know the answer to, maybe we can do a round two, or I'll, like you said, I'll email you, get the answers and answer as best as I can in the comments section. But thank you very much, Scott, for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time to answer my questions. I know I definitely have a much better understanding of all the changes that have recently happened with Duper. Hopefully everybody tuning in also feels the same way. But that's going to do it for us here today. And until next time, this is Webby, not Eddie, signing off.
Well, we're dinking around with Eddie and Webby. Dinking around with Eddie and Webby tonight.
Oh, yeah.